All right, welcome to our Bible study of the book of Revelation. Today is Wednesday, January 3rd, 2024. We'll be meeting here in the NLA Stop Meeting Room every Wednesday and Thursday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. For those listening on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live or review our past studies and PDF study aids, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible-study-Revelation. Our study will be about 45 minutes and a 15-minute Q&A for questions and comments or corrections. No one raises their hands. We'll be continue with our study for the additional 15 minutes. If you have a question, please take note of the book, chapter, and verse so that we can easily go back to the verse in question. Let us begin with a prayer. Holy, gracious Heavenly Father, we confess that by nature we are sinners, that we are not worthy of the grace, that we are not worthy to know thy Son, and that we are not worthy of the glorious salvation. But through thy love that passes all understanding, we have found forgiveness of sins and receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Papa, Father. Father, we ask for thy blessings as we continue in thy word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, before we get started into our study tonight, I want to make some notes of some changes I made concerning the page where our Bible study is at. Under education here, I moved the Bible study on Revelation underneath Bible studies, so in order to find it, but it still can be found with the same link that we've been giving out. Also, if you click on Bible studies itself, I posted a lot of my past studies that I've done for quite a few years when I was running open forums. We had a room called the Bible Only Room, and we were running open forums, we were running Bible studies. We literally spend the day in the Lord every day, just about. We always had people in the room teaching, preaching, sharing things, playing music, whatever the case may be. But we had regular programming. So what I did is first of all, the first study that shows up on this page, and this is, again, found under Education Starts Here and Bible Studies. We have the Book of Revelation study that's live going on right now. We started that back in September 9th, and we've been doing two studies a week. I think when we finish Revelation, I think we're going to go to one, and maybe we'll do an hour and a half. I'm not sure what day, maybe Wednesday or Thursday. But with the Book of Revelation, I want to stick with two studies a week. And we're very close I think we're about halfway through now, the Book of Revelation. And we had a lot of introductory studies that we did prior to that. After that, I think we're going to probably do a Gospel of Matthew. And that's my plan at this point, after we finish the Revelation study. But anyway, I posted a lot of different studies and discussions. You know, we've had some good discussions in the Bible Only Room some years back, and we started recording them. I have a few that I've got that I've placed up here. There are six, actually seven of them. I think Divisions Among You was also a discussion. I don't remember. But I also had run some open forums. In the Bible Only Room, I believe we had four teachers, if I recall. Let me think about that. Yeah, I think it was four other teachers plus myself. I think it was five of us all together. And, so I wasn't the only one running open forums, but I had a particular time that I'd run my open forum and, took questions and gave some answers. Our focus at that time had a lot to do with end time studies, so you'll get a lot of information, a lot of great word studies in here, a lot of seeing how people should approach the Bible, how we can approach it collectively with numerous people, you know, struggling to really understanding and trying to come to agreements and understanding of the Bible. I also posted a lot of studies I have up here that I think might be very helpful, particularly in end times, okay? I'll just point out some of them, a few of them. There's quite a few. We've looked at the 144,000, but this study here is really an intense focus on the 144,000. A very deep study. So I think you can enhance your understanding of what we've been looking at in the book of Revelation and get a much better picture of the 144,000. Did the same thing with 2,300 days. And again, a lot of these things are really, you know, great studies to look into. I strongly suggest that people maybe approach one of these a week maybe, and you'll get to a much, much better understanding, appreciation, much deeper look into words. Now, there are other studies that I can kind of suggest that people might want to look at first. That 144,000 might be one in the 2,300. Let's see. Silence in Heaven, an in-depth study on that. That's a pretty good one to be looking at this time, this period, because of what we're looking at in Revelation. The Four Beasts, the Holy City, the Sanctuary, the Temple, Times and Seasons. And again, all of these are really good studies to look into. When is the harvest, the wicked reveal, the three woes, which we've been going through, and I think we just finished on the third woe. A deeper look at the two-part study on the beginning of sorrows. Let me see, I don't remember how long these studies were. Okay, these were hour-long studies, some of them. I think some of them were longer than that, but these are hour-long studies. I know the conversations were about 2 to 3 hours a piece. But anyway, going back here, biblical calendar, did six parts on that. As I was talking about the beginning of sorrows, there's two parts on that. The chronology of the end, there were four parts on that. Now, I got to admit, I'm listening to them, re-listening to them now to see, you know, how accurate we were back then. And we were on the mark on pretty much a lot of things we were looking at. I think we had a couple of errors here or there. Again, as you always go back into the Bible and you discover things, you find errors in your thinking, your conclusions, and you make your corrections accordingly. This was a good study on creation, looking at it from different perspectives. You know, the creation of the heaven and the moon, the creation of the earth, dust, and so on and so forth. The days shortened. I'm not sure what my perspective was back then. I got to listen to them. But again, it's still worthy of the studies because there's so much context or content around the particular subject matter. If I was in error back then, I'll make a note of that here somewhere and make it known what I think might be a more proper conclusion. No flesh be saved. Again, 1 hour. A very, very important study in understanding the end times. It's understanding that 1 hour. In 1 hour is she made desolate. The seven trumpets, there's four parts to that. Silence in Heaven, part one and two. The ten virgins, we looked at that, but this is, again, a much deeper look into the ten virgins. Three-part study on that. The three heavens, which we looked at that before again, but again, a much deeper study. I did an eight-part study on time. I remember doing this study, and I did not anticipate it to be as long as many parts, but it turned out to be that way. And so it's a very in-depth study on time. The Great Tribulation, three-part study. Two signs, the belly of the beast and the sign of the Son of Man. I did that in the two parts. And war in heaven. I think I finished listening to all four parts. I may be on one. No, I'm in part three right now. Re-listening, and I feel pretty confident in that teaching. I feel very confident in all these teachings, as a matter of fact. But again, if we have error, I would think it's more towards the timing than anything else, because that's been the thing we struggled with a lot. Of course, access to the study of the Gospel of Mark by Harold Campin. And I think when you look at these studies and if you listen to these conversations, again, this is the Bible-only discussion. We had six of them. They're three hours, maybe more, some more maybe, each. And all of the people involved, you know, we're all under the teaching of Harold Campin. And when you listen to these studies, these conversations, which end up to be studies, of course, I think you'll see how we were properly taught to compare Scripture. and really to work things out and try to really come to a good understanding. I think there's a great appreciation there. There was a problem, you know, that throughout the church age, going all the way back to the beginning, there's always been divisions, constant divisions. It's a really sad situation, but it's the nature of man, I guess. And nothing is different here. You know, I know Family Radio became a division, and that kind of fell away. Matter of fact, I did have a link up here to Family Radio because they're still around, and I did take it down. I have to admit, they have great music, or a lot of great music anyway. I got a lot of the old music, copy recordings of the old music, and that's what I usually play at the beginning of our program when we're waiting to get started, and I play it at different times. But in any event, and of course for my own edification, I play it often. They just put it on the computer and run a whole bunch of music, and it's all available for download, by the way. We do have a place. Not sure where they put it on this page, but I'll make sure I'll get it onto this page also. Where you can download all of these different music, really good. But anyway, going back to, you know, divisions, going back to divisions among us, divisions among you. There was a division in Family Radio towards the end, and there always was a division, actually, you know, an anger of the teaching, let's put it that way. And at some point, of course, when the potential time came and it failed, a major assault took place on that particular ministry, unfortunately, and they stopped teaching a lot of things. They don't teach the salt, and that's a major problem. They have some good Bible studies, but they're practical studies. They're moral studies, and I guess that's okay. Maybe I'll put it back up here because for those things it's good, but. You know, it does lack certain things. It lacks the teaching of election. It lacks the teaching of salt. At least I've been listening for quite some time now, again, since I rediscovered them, and I just have not heard any teaching on salt. I haven't heard any teaching on election, and so hell and damnation, that being the salt, just is not spoken of, it seems. And that's a major problem, definitely in the church. I don't know that you can call it a problem, you know, if you're listening to a radio, and at least you're getting blessed by some good music, maybe, and some reasonable, and some good teaching. You know, again, I haven't really heard many problems with the teaching. I heard problems in the sense of not hearing the things that it lacks. Okay, so anyway, that's what happened to family. That's what happened to the Bible Only Room at some point, and that's why we did this. This thing, the division among you, and the problem was what was called a five-month problem, which I'm not going to get into, but you can listen to it yourself. If you do want to really listen to this, I would say listen to Divisions Among You first, and then listen, and you'll hear the five-month problem brought up on numerous times, I believe. And then there was a study on the five-month problem. What exactly is the problem with the five-month problem? You'll hear some of it in the Divisions Among You, but more in depth, of course, in the five-month problem. And the problem with the five-month problem is that it affected almost everything we looked at concerning the end times. And it was an error. Definitely an error. I knew it was an error from the moment I heard it. And there was a big division among the people, mostly because, unfortunately, people have a tendency to follow an individual. And they'll follow them right along with their errors and everything else, and it's very unfortunate, but it's, I guess, the nature of man. We didn't teach that in the Bible-only room. We tried to get that diversity. We tried to get different teachers that really was solid in Bible teaching. So anyway, great discussions. I wish the Bible-only room was still around. I wish we can develop a group of people who are serious Bible students and we can get together and really discuss scriptures in a deep level. And then, of course, open forums. I've done quite a few open forums, I would do an open forum, I think it was once a week. These are dated. This is back in 2007 through 2009. So there's quite a few open forums here, Bible discussions, questions. And some of them, of course, I think some of them, I haven't listened to all these in a long, long time. Well, I've never really listened to them. I did them a long time ago. But I have listened to a couple of them, and eventually I'll go through all of them. And I feel very confident that they're very, very on-focused and on the mark. And these are the studies, as I mentioned. Okay, anyway, Walk with the King, that's a good ministry. Music to Live By, matter of fact, that's where you can get the music. Let me click on that. This is where you can get all the music that I've got. I think I've got all the music that I've got up here. We've got Christmas music and just regular Christian music. This is old stuff, really, really good music. I don't think there's any rock and roll focus in here at all. I think on Family Radio, some of the music I heard does kind of get into the rock level, which is okay. I don't mind that too much, as long as it's not self-focused. I've listened to radio stations, Christian radio stations, that were rock. And when I listened to them, I didn't really see them glorifying God as well as really glorifying themselves feeling good. So I always shied away from that. But I have found some rock and roll that kind of lead people to Christ. And anybody who comes to our Monday night programs, I do play that kind of music there. One song at the beginning of each of our open forums. Anyway, so I wanted to put that all together. Huge amount of information. And it'll really, if you go through these occasionally, you know, it's really going to benefit and give you a much deeper understanding of what we're looking into. Not just the book of Revelation, but also the gospel itself. And of course, the book of Revelation is part of the gospel. But I mean, when I'm saying the gospel, I mean getting into the study of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. And that's why I want to do a study on Matthew next, I think. And we'll see where we go. But again, I might do, when we go to that study, I might do like an hour and a half, as I mentioned, and only once a week instead of twice a week. The reason why I did twice a week on the book of Revelation, because I think it's a timely study. You know, I did two times a week now, because it's a timely study, and once a week just seemed to be moving too slow. And I thought, we really got to do two, because I really felt it important to get this study out and have people to consider it and maybe get some discussions going as time goes on. We'll see what happens. I'd like to reopen the Bible Only Room, but we'll see what happens as time goes on. Okay, with that, we'll get into tonight's study. Back into the book of Revelation. We're looking at Revelation chapter 13. We're going to be looking at the first beast. There are two beasts we're going to see. One beast coming up out of the sea and another beast coming up out of the world. And in both cases, it's Satan. I think maybe we can consider, well, let me think about this before I say it. The beast identifies with the body of Satan. It's Leviathan. We can identify it ultimately in the world as the New World Order enemies teaching. The New World Order, I don't want to get too deep into that, but I think we can identify the principalities as the New World Order. And then, of course, higher spiritual wickedness in high places, of course, in the churches. And again, it's a very sad thing that you look back in history, churches constantly go apostate. They always end up apostate. But God raises something else up. And again, today he's risen. He hasn't risen another corporate body up anymore. But we're all out there bringing the gospel. I feel confident that there's a lot of people out there still bringing the gospel, the true gospel, however it is that they bring it, you know. But anyway, the first beast, Leviathan, rising up out of the world. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat, and gave authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And it was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Okay, so we're going to look at this first beast. And the beast, of course, identifies with mankind. And remember, we saw the four beasts in the beginning of the book of Revelation. We've looked into that. And we see how that is a picture of the corporate church. But this here, there's a picture of the beast. The beast picture that's being given here, the first beast, is the beast in the world. And, you know, almost everyone I talk to, usually at some point in time, you know, in conversation, I ask, hey, by the way, are you a Christian? And they always say yes. But they're really, when you start talking with them, they're really not interested. They have a different gospel, or they become insulted. They become offended, not insulted, but they become offended because the true gospel doesn't really go well with the world. but in any event, I see collectively, mankind collectively, worldwide, okay, is the picture of the beast. And because even if they don't even believe in Christ or claim to be a Christian, let's put it that way, even those who don't claim to be a Christian is still part of Leviathan, it's still part of the kingdom of Satan. As a matter of fact, if we look at these individuals that are involved in the New World Order, they're all Antichrist. They want nothing to do with Christianity at all, and they don't wish to even have his name. They worship Satan. And those people, I don't think they make any bones about it. They actually worship Satan. But in any event, let's go back and take a look. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. Okay. Now the idea, of course, the sand of the sea identifies with the fact that on land, and it's remember, land, continents are really coming up out of the oceans at some point. Some of these continents had water on them, at least a good parts of them over time. And of course, when there was the great flood, the entire world was covered with water. But generally speaking, you know, you have islands throughout the world, and every one of those islands is a mountain in the sea. And it just comes up out of the mountain, and of course, up out of the water, out of the sea, and it becomes an island. And it's still a mountain. It's what it is. It's a mountain. And so that idea of mountain or standing upon the sea is an idea of standing upon a high place outside of the world, out of the world, on the land. Again, brings us back to identify to some degree with a high place. In the case here, because the focus is going to be on the sea, and the beast that comes up out of the sea, it's identifying with the world particularly. Okay, and I saw the beast rise up out of the sea. And again, this is the God of this world. This is Leviathan. This is the body of Satan. This is mankind. The number of the beast is the number of man. Mankind. Having 7 heads and 10 horns. 7 heads identifying with the perfection. Again, duplicating again the 7 mountains, duplicating the 7 churches. And remember, the original 7 churches we read about in Revelation here have all gone apostate. They're all gone. So here we have the seven heads, okay, and 10 horns. 10 identifying with the completeness, particularly in this case, the horns. So it's the power. Horns identify with power. We've looked at these words. So 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And know whether we actually looked at crowns. Let me see. We might look at this. There's a crown of life, crown of glory, crown of righteousness that identifies with kings. There is a crown that it looks like gold, but it's not gold. It's as if it were gold, but it's not gold. I think we already looked at that verse in Revelation, and if we haven't, we'll be looking at it. I'm just looking through here to see if we have it in here. Yeah, I don't see it in here. But I think this picture that I have, I didn't include the crown like gold. But when we get to it, we'll come back and we'll look at this picture. Well, let's look at the picture crowns. Crowns identify with someone being a king. Christ comes with a king. He's given a crown. And of course, he's the crown because he's the rule. He's the judge. And so Christ was given a crown. And who gave Christ the crown but his Father, of course. But then, we see the picture of him being the King of Kings, and we saw that picture where the saints took their crowns off and cast them to the Lord. And then we'll see another place in Revelation where he's wearing many crowns. We may have seen that already, I don't remember, but if not, we will be seeing that, where he has many crowns, okay? But the crowns that Christ wears, of course, is crowns of gold, which identifies with being brought through the judgment ultimately. Gold is purified and purified and purified, trying to move all the impurities out of it. And that's done by fire, okay? And Christ went through fire. He suffered the equivalence of hell on our sake. But again, the idea of the crown made with gold identifies with the fact that he has gone through judgment and he's been purified. But we will have a picture, if we haven't seen it yet and we come up on it, the picture where I think the kings of the earth, I think it is, and it talks about they had crowns as if they were as crowns like gold. So they're not gold. They have a kingdom, but it's a kingdom under the judgment of Christ. It's a kingdom that's going to be destroyed. All right, so let's take a look at some of these pictures of the crowns anyway. We read in James chapter 1, verse 1, James, the servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all for joy when you fall into various temptations or diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And of course, Christ tries us, and the trying of us is for our sake. So we see where we're at. I mean, I feel in my life, in this time, I feel like I'm always going through trials. I'm always going through realizing the problems of past and even present problems that, you wish you could change things of the past. But everything is a lesson for us, and all things work together for good for those who believe. And all of us are sinners. None of us can get through life without having these problems and without being a sinner, because anybody who denies that they're a sinner, the truth is not in them. They're liars, the Bible tells us. Okay, so count it all for joy when you fall into various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him that ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So, of course, that's the picture of salvation, the crown of life. And the Lord tells us he's the King of Kings. The saints are all kings, and the Lord is the King of the saints. We've already seen in Revelation 10, fear none of these, those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Now, again, you're being tried because you're going in a different direction. If you're in a church where you're in prison because Satan imprisons people in apostate churches, so you get imprisoned there, you get stuck there. And there's a couple of pictures of that, but that's one of the major pictures of that prison. And what's happening if you are one of God's elect, if you are, starting to understand and the Bible's open up to you, and you start bringing these things up, these truths that are being rejected by this apostate church, well, that's the trying of your faith, you know? Are you going to endure to the end with the truth, or are you going to give in and change the flow and go the other way with all of them, be lost in the flood of false doctrines? So that's the picture, I believe, that's here in the prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. In other words, the tribulation ultimately is the assault upon Christian by the leaders of the church particularly. Okay, and that's the tribulation that we suffer. The Great Tribulation identifies with two judgments. Let's put it this way. It's identified with judgment against those who are non-believers, and they're given, God speaks about sending them strong delusion because they prefer the lie. So he sends them strong delusion and so that they would receive the lie. And so therein is a tribulation to them, whether they know it. Well, ultimately, I do think that the people in the churches today, and I've seen this when I was in the churches, you know, everybody comes in with a smile and, you know, everything looks fine and everybody, you know, amen and all those things. But when you're outside the church, you start to see these little other things that kind of creep up. I don't think, well, they don't, if they're unsaved, they don't have salvation, and therefore there's got to be something lacking within them, and they have to be very concerned that there's a problem. But they refuse to face it. I mean, even myself, when I first came to Christ, there was many things I didn't want to face, many things I rejected. But by God's grace, he drug me along. But let's get back here. So this idea, again, is being in prison to be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. The number 10 is the completeness of whatever God has in view. So it's just a period of time. That's what God is saying here. It's not a literal 10 days. Just like the 5 months, it's not a literal 5 months. And in most cases, the 1,260 days is not literally 1,260 days. And the 3.5s and the 1 hour or the week, the sevens. Again, these are all giving you spiritual pictures. Not literal numbers. The 144,000 is not a literal number, but it's a figurative number, and you can put it together spiritually and have the appreciation for it. And again, the test to these things is consistency. As long as it's consistent, it's constant. And, you know, once you have a problem that comes up and it kind of throws a wrench into consistency, then you know you got a problem somewhere. You know you got a mistake, an error, and you got to dig around to find out, repair that error, correct that error. Okay, let's move on. 1 Peter 5. We'll continue with the crown, but I know we're going to come to the opposite later on with the crown, like gold, but it's not gold. Which, we, again, like I said, we may have already passed that. I don't remember. Okay, 1 Peter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partner or partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples or in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure the afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. Revelation 14:14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon that cloud one sat, like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And when we get to that, we're going to see, of course, that is Christ. And this is the time of reaping. And that golden crown identifies with the fact that he is the King. And in this case, of course, the King of Kings. King of Kings. And he's coming on a cloud. We see him in another place, of course, coming on a white horse. And in both cases, the white horse identifies with the body of Christ. The cloud identifies with the body of Christ. We are a cloud of witnesses. Revelation 4:3. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now I think I made a mistake earlier. I said 12 crowns. There's 24 crowns. Because they all cast their crowns to the Lord. Okay, so we do see the picture identifying with the kingdom, particularly the king, with the crown of life, the crown of glory, crown of righteousness, and it identifies with kings, particularly the King of Kings. But let's go back here. So he had, his horns had 10 crowns, okay, and this is not crowns of gold. This is crowns that is wore, as if they wore gold. And again, I think we already saw that picture, but if not, we'll see it. Get going. And upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion. Now, particularly a lion. You know, I was reviewing this a little earlier, and I just didn't have the time to go back and dig a little deep on the leopard and the bear. And maybe between now and the next study, I'm going to take a deeper look. I do know that there was a picture of a bear. I'm trying to think who it was. I think it was Elijah, where some child came out and said some things to Elijah and called him Baldy, Baldy, go up, go up. And a bear came out of the woods and devoured him. But I think we'll take a look at that maybe next week, the leopard and the bear. But let's look at the lion. We know that it has the mouth of a lion. So let me just step back. I saw, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Now, I do know the pictures of the leopard a little bit, where a leopard was laying prey outside waiting for those coming out to attack them and eat them up. So that probably is the kind of picture in view. And the same thing maybe with the bear, the feet of a bear. But his mouth was the mouth of a lion. Okay, and we know, we've looked at the word lion. There are two lions. There's a lion of Judah, and there's a Christ is identified as the lion of Judah. And then there is the lion who seeketh whom he may devour. So it's, of course, Satan. You know, and whenever you see a picture of Christ, you'll always see the opposite side, Satan, imitating that, in order to draw others away from Christ and to himself. So he has the mouth of a lion. And the identifying with the mouth of the lion is the fact that he's bringing scripture. Satan comes with a Bible. He's bringing scripture. And again, he's got the whole world. He's already got that. He's interested in the congregations. He's interested in the God's children. He's interested in devouring them up. And he's interested in bringing false gospels, a flood of false gospels, to bring them astray and away. And let's go on. And the dragon gave him his power and seat. And we saw before that the dragon clearly identifies with Satan himself. So Satan is a picture of Satan. And gave him his power and his seat. In other words, it's a king. So when we look at the dragon identifying with Satan, we have the two beasts. This is the first beast, the one coming up out of the sea, identifying with man. It's a picture of Satan working in the beast, in mankind, outside of the church. And then we're going to see the picture of Satan, the second beast, which is going to be a picture coming up out of the earth. And it's going to identify with Satan, who is, again, the body of man in church, in the corporate body, who has brought the church to apostate state. And again, that's the second beast that we're going to see. But let's continue with this first beast. So he gave him power, made him kings, and his seat, and great authority. Let's see, I don't remember whether we looked at seat or not. Let's see. Well, we did look at it, right? To sit is to rule. So the seat is identifying with ruling. So we're not going to look back at that word again. We've already seen that. And again, I'm putting all these words up on the page, by the way, where all of these recordings are. And so people can go back and look at the different word studies we're doing here, the different verses, and to relate and understand the meaning of these things, spiritually speaking. And great authority over the churches. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And, of course, that took place at the cross. Christ wounded his deadly wound, gave him a deadly wound. And his deadly wound was healed because he continued. Even though he was defeated at the cross, Christ continued to allow him to be. The major difference before the cross and after the cross, and we looked a little bit into this before, but the major difference is that before the cross, when people, God's elect who died, they went to a place of silence. Now, God did take certain individuals out of the world. Enoch, for instance, was taken out of the world. Enoch walked with God and God took him. Elijah, Moses. Moses was died and he was buried, but we read later on that God took his body. And so those are three individuals we know in the Old Testament that are in their eternal spiritual bodies that were out of the Old Testament, and that was before Christ went to the cross. And there is an argument between Satan and Christ. Christ in the name of Michael, the chief messenger. Michael means one who assuredly is God. And so we know that's a picture of Christ, and we've looked every place where Michael is, and we can see clearly it's Christ. And also, Michael standing for his children can't be an angel because in the sense of how people think of angels, you know, angel is a messenger, but there are different, there are angelic beings. And it can't be an angelic being because they don't have children. The only one that has children is Christ. He's the one that has children. And so, and we did look at Michael, so we've done that study. But so here we have this picture of where the deadly wound was healed. So in the Old Testament, like I said, when they died, they went to a place of silence. And their next waking moment was the resurrection. And when Christ rose from the grave, all the Old Testament believers that had died prior to that were risen. And they were risen and given their eternal spiritual bodies. So they were risen body and soul. And they went into heaven. I believe we've done somewhat of a study on that. And I think I have a study up on up on the site with that. And if not, I'll do a study on that very specifically and get into more depth on that. But anyway, I know we've had discussion. Matter of fact, some of the discussions, I think we talked a little bit about Michael, maybe. But anyway, so we have this picture of the deadly wound being healed. And on the New Testament side, when we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that, of course, is in our soul existence. When we're born again, we're elect and we're born again in this world to get our resurrected souls. Again, in the Old Testament, that was not the case. And the argument that, just to step back a little bit, the argument between Christ and Michael, I mean, Christ and Satan, was that Satan was saying to the Lord, "You can't take him. I'm paraphrasing. I won this world by reason of conquest. You can't take him." And the Lord said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Okay? The Lord can do anything he wants because he knew the end from the beginning, and he knew he was going to accomplish his goal. And so he did take at least three individuals, body and soul, into heaven. But at the cross, when Christ died, then the other side, again, in the New Testament, the Old Testament believers went into heaven, but the New Testament believers, when they die, they go into heaven in their soul existence. They don't have their spiritual eternal bodies yet. That only comes on the last day, when the dead in Christ is risen first, and we which are alive are caught up and we're changed in the twinkling of an eye, and so on. Okay. Okay, the deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon. The whole world worships the dragon. Remember, the Lord told us there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. I talk to people who are on their way to death already. They're on death's bed, and they still just don't receive it. They're not getting it. I guess they're just deaf. They don't hear. When I tell them things like, well, they'll tell me, well, I believe in Christ. I this, that, and the other thing, and I'm a good person, and it's not about being good. It's about being one of God's elect. And I do believe that if you're drawn to really seek out your election, you'll find it. Because I think only those, it's my perception that only those who are God's elect will go to seek it out. But those who are not God's elect, they will not seek it out. And I try to lead people to those verses and places in the Bible, but they're just not hearing. They're not listening. They don't want to hear. They have their own way about them. The bottom line is that they made the molten image. The picture of the molten image, when we go back into the days of Moses' day, that picture of that molten image is the idea of what is framed or beaten in your own mind on who God is. You have your picture of God. And if any man tries to know who God is outside of the Bible, they're not going to find him, because they can't know God unless God reveals himself to them through his word. But anybody who really works out that salvation, becomes very diligent to work out that salvation with great fear and trembling, desiring that salvation and finding the verses and realizing that it is in this fashion that you become born again, seeking it out. And then after that, the evidence is the fact that you continue. You continue to grow. You continue to learn. You continue to have that relationship with Christ. You continue to have more of an understanding. And in my opinion, faith becomes knowledge at some point. In my mind, I can't even think of one negative of a concern that Christ is not God. Not one at all. I mean, I have full faith in Christ. I believe I do anyway. And but my faith grew. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. You want to grow your faith? Spend more time in the Bible. You want to become more and more knowledgeable of your salvation? Spend your time in the Bible. Understand what God is doing in you, if he is making you the willing to do of his good pleasure. The fact that you're mortifying the flesh. The fact that you want to come closer to God. The fact that you love God by loving his word, by loving the things that he tells you that is truth. And you have a love for that. And that is how you love God. All right, let's go back here. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like... Well, let me step back a verse here. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. So Satan gave power to the beast, you know, the body of himself in mankind at this time period. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? And who is able to make war with him? Because they think that the beast, ultimately, from their perspective, is Christ, or the God of their own mind. Okay, in other words, the Antichrist, another Christ, another Jesus, or the God of their own mind. Everybody seems to be framing out who they think God. They create a very convenient God, a God that they can live with, because the God of the Bible, they have problems living with that God, because you've got to turn from your ways, and that is evil. I mean, that is difficult. To turn from your ways is a very, very difficult thing to do. And anybody that's a Christian knows that. You know, you have these problems in life that you've fallen into. You have these bad habits. You start to realize, wow, I shouldn't have been acting that way, or I wasn't, you know, a very, very good person in that day. And just dealing with that, that's repentance. And that's working through and struggling and repenting and trying not to fall back into that person. Or trying to get out of the person that you are, that you know is wrong. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is like unto my God? Who is able to make war with my God, with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And so the beast identifying, of course, with the false prophets, the false teachers, or just anything outside of Christ. You know, if you're not one of Christ, you're none of his. If you don't have the spirit of Christ, then you have the spirit of Antichrist. There's only two you can have. You either have Christ or you have something else, a demon, whether it's another Jesus or just another religion with some other name. Either you have the spirit of Christ or the spirit of Antichrist. There's nothing else in between. And it was given unto him a mouth, speaking great blasphemies, and power was given unto to continue 42 months. That's 3.5. That's 3.5 years. Again, that's a time clue we've spoken about before. And this particular 3.5, I believe, is a picture of the time period of the Great Tribulation. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Now, we know that the tabernacle identifies with the body of Christ. I believe we've looked at that word before. It is the body of Christ. I'll just read Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold the tabernacle, behold the body of Christ. Behold the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. Now, down into Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews is a good one to look at, maybe. Let's look, and I know we looked at this before, but I just want to look for a good, strong picture here. Okay, I think maybe right here in Hebrews. Is it Hebrews? No. Yeah, in Hebrews. Okay, Hebrews 9, verses 1 through 3. Then truly, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary, and after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. Okay, and the tabernacle is where Christ is. The tabernacle is where God is. And where is the tabernacle? Ultimately, it's in the heart of the believers. The body of Christ is identified with the tabernacle. So that's the picture here. But we'll leave that for right now, because we did look into this word. So the tabernacle is identifying with the body of Christ. So we see, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, the body of Christ, and them that dwell in heaven. Okay, and the heaven I believe that's in view here is the middle heaven, the one where the heaven is where the gospel is going forward. Okay, it's being again in the corporate body. Okay, off the pulpit, the preaching of the word, baptizing of the people, which the baptism of the word identifies with water, which identifies with the gospel. And so we're baptizing the people. That's, again, we've looked at that many times. So that's the heaven that's in view. So he opened his mouth, the beast, in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Let's look at this word war. Okay, war identifies with the spiritual picture is identifying with heresy or moral and doctrinal ideas or war of words ultimately. Body of Christ is bringing the true gospel, and of course, an apostate church, another Jesus, another Christ, a false Christ, the Antichrist. He's bringing a false gospel. He's using the same words, using the same book, using the Bible, but he's bringing it and twisting the word, because that's what Satan does, twists God's words. Okay, Revelation 12:17. We already seen this, but I'm going to read this. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments. And that's why we see the churches throughout the whole New Testament era constantly going apostate. And again, when one goes apostate, God raises up another one. Until there's no more. He's not raising them up no more because he's preparing the whole world for Judgment Day. And we're very close to that. Extremely close to that. So close you can reach out and touch it, I believe. It could be a year, could be 2 years, I don't know, but it's very, very close. When man says peace and safety at last, that's when we know it's the end. How long after that? I don't know. And I don't think the Bible's going to tell us. But be ready, he tells us. Watch. So he makes war with the remnants of seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay, Matthew 24:4-6. We've looked at this, but we'll look at it again. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, or I'm Christian. I got Christ in me. We have Jesus. Jesus loves you. And shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now, of course, the wars and the rumors of wars, I think these are giving us the picture of worldly wars. But it also identifies also with spiritual wars, too. I think we can see both pictures here. And we've been looking right now into the world, which I think is part of the strong delusion, I think, that God sends to them because they prefer the lie, so he sends them strong delusion. And that is all the strange ideas and the strange doctrines with the book of Revelation. And I can see how they can come up with these crazy ideas, but there's no, it's not solid. There's no consistency. There's no line upon line. It changes with the season. You can look at it today and see it one way, and, you know, 5, 10 years ago or 20 years ago, you could have seen it another way. And I've heard so many people for all my life saying, oh, you can read the newspaper and you can see the revelation. It's the end times, you know. They're all wrong. I never went along with that. I just didn't see it because I knew it was private interpretations. It's coming out of the mind of man and not out of the mind of Christ. And you find the mind of Christ between the books of Genesis and Revelation. I don't know whether I finished this verse or not. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. So it's very, very close. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 6-10. Now, brethren, If I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? And remember, tongues have ceased. The Bible is clear on that. Tongues have ceased. The purpose of tongues was to bring truth before the Bible was completed. And God spoke. And also the other thing, and I've been in churches where people speak in tongues. I've seen and heard even on TV where people speak of tongues, and they violate scriptures, because scripture is clear. You cannot speak tongues in the congregation unless there be an interpreter too. So one person has to speak the tongues, and somewhere else in the congregation someone stands up and interprets what that person just said in order to edify the church. That was its purpose. It has no other purpose but edification. Edification is the key. And that's what God is interested in, edifying us through his word. And so tongues have ceased. It is no longer. And any place you hear these tongues, you usually find, well, I always find there's never an interpreter. And now, I don't want to say that tongues are not inside an individual, where the Spirit yearns for that which, you know, we don't have an understanding of, and I guess that's a form of tongues within you. So I won't disturb that, because I think I know I have these yearnings to some. I don't understand what they are without necessarily knowledge or desire, but I don't know that I can even say it's tongues. So it there's no edification that I'm aware of in tongues. But definitely in the congregation, it's a major problem, and there's never an interpreter. Okay, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, with a pipe or harp. And that's bringing the gospel, piping it out, harping it out. You know that old saying, stop harping me? That's really bringing the picture of the fact they don't want to hear the gospel, ultimately. And you could be harping someone on anything, but that's really what the saying is really referring to. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? And remember, we've been looking at the seven trumpets. So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood. There must be an understanding to these tongues. How shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. Or signification, I guess that's it. Okay, James chapter 3, 13 through James chapter 4, 6. But if any bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion, and evil, and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? And let me just go back real quickly to make this point, and I think it would be very helpful to this study today, is to go and listen to this, is this it? I think it's, Divisions Among You. Like I said, I think it's about a 3-hour long conversation, but Divisions Among You, because, you know, we experienced it in fact, and it ended up destroying and closing down the Bible Only Room. It got that bad to some degree. But anyway, it's a really a good study. We really tried to work peace out, and it just couldn't be done. Some people just didn't want to have peace. You know, sometimes people draw a line in the sand. You have to be and do this way, otherwise, you know, whatever. I mean, there are certain doctrines, of course, in the Bible that their line in the sand is drawn. You know, election, assault, and so on. There's numerous pictures or things of salvation. But a misunderstanding or not understanding the things of the end and seeing it one way or another way and then making a division over that's not godly, and it's, you know, we don't have to agree on those things necessarily. These are things really hard to understand. And I don't know that they are hard to understand. I don't think you understand them or see them unless God opens your eyes and your ears. And generally speaking, you know, opening the eyes and ears really mean you're being drawn to look at these things. But some people look at things with a state of mind to make war and not peace, not to set aside their thinking and say, well, let me see how this really is to be understood from that person's perspective. Let's look at all the verses. Let's consider the position and the conclusion. And then when you get to that point, then you can either decide, well, okay, this person's right, and I'm in error, or vice versa. That person's wrong, you know, they're in error, and I'm right. But you're not going to know until you sit down and listen and consider 100%. And I know I was guilty of this to some degree myself in the past. People would speak, and I'm already in my mind debating everything they're saying and tearing it down and so on and so forth. And when I get the option to speak, I'm against that, and I got a different picture. Well, I didn't give them the opportunity for consideration of the point and the position, the conclusions, and the verses they were using. And that's it's a major problem. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Stop it. Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Okay. I want to finish reading these. Revelation 12, 7 through 10, which we've already went through, but I'm going to read through it anyway. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. I strongly suggest you go listen to the study on war on the page I showed you before. I think it's a four-part study on war. It's a very good study, very in-depth, and it'll really enhance your understanding here. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon, and this war, again, Michael is Christ, of course, and his angels, in this case, is the messengers, is the body of Christ. It's not the angelic beings, it's the body of Christ, fought against the dragon, against Satan. How? With bringing forth the gospel. And the dragon fought, and his angels, his messengers fought, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, that deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels or his messengers were cast out with him. And be casting out into the earth, identifying with the church, of course, and that's the picture, of course, that we're seeing the great tribulation. And his messengers were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come the salvation of the strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before God day and night. Now we compare that to Ephesians chapter 2, 16 through 17. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. So this is a picture of the cross, and this is the picture, and the battle that really has been taking place at the cross. It's already won at the cross, but it continues all the way through to the end of the world, until the final judgment day, until the rider of the white horse, which going forth conquering to conquering throughout the whole New Testament era. But finally, you know, you got the end of the war, Armageddon, the final battle. We've already looked at Revelation 9. I'll skip that. Revelation 16, 12 through 16. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. The great river Euphrates identifies with the Gospels. We read about that all the way back in Genesis. And the water thereof was dried up. There was no more gospel. That the way the kings of the east might be prepared. They're coming, you know, they're coming up out of the dust. They're in a snake pit. They're eating snake food, the dust. Remember, God cursed the snake and made dust his food. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophets. We'll get into that a little later on. For they are spirits of devils working miracles. And this word is not necessarily miracles. It's signs and wonders. And I don't think... I think God refers... Well, God refers to it lying signs and wonders. You know, and I know we spoke a little bit about this before. You'll see some of these TV preachers, they'll come out and, you know, and they claim to heal people, they'll touch them, they'll fall backward, and, you know, that's some kind of a miracle, but it's all chicanery. It has nothing to do with truth. It's all false. I remember hearing and people coming up to talk that were part of that, say, you know, that was part of the game. You know, it's all false. It's a lie. So there really are no miracles. It's signs and wonders, and they're lying signs and lying wonders, and I think the word miracles is probably a misinterpretation into the English, because it can be interpreted signs, it can be interpreted wonders. So, anyway, which go forth unto the kings of the earth. The kings of the earth now are the leaders of the church that have gone apostate, and the whole world to gather them to battle. The great day, that word identifying with the battle, the war, of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathereth them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Okay, and right, let's go to Romans, Revelations 11:3. You're going to read this? Let's see. All right, I'm not going to read that because we've already been through 11:3, and it's just, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And we are coming up to the point where we're going to see the resurrection of those two witnesses. I don't think we've covered that yet. Okay. Let's go back here. We're going to be coming to an end. We're already over time here. So let me just reread the last part of this, and we'll end it for tonight. We'll pick up in verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Total destruction. Power to take control of everything. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names were not written in the book of life. We looked at the book of life. God speaks about everyone's name starts there and is blotted out as time goes on. But written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Of course, that's Christ. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth to captivity shall go to captivity. So if you become part of this false gospels, leading people into the captivity of Satan, you're going into captivity with them. He that killeth with the sword, in other words, use the word of God to kill with false doctrines, false gospels, you must be killed with the sword, the true gospel, the judgment of God, fire, brimstone. And here is the patience and faith of the saints. Okay, so we're going to end it there tonight, and next week we're going to pick up on the second beast. Okay, this one's coming up out of the earth, and again, we'll pick up on that later. But again, I encourage people to go and listen to these studies, particularly, I think really, if you get a chance, division among you is one. But the other one, you know, there's one on war here. Which I think is a really good study and really will help. Four parts, War in Heaven, Part 1 through 4. I encourage people to go listen to that when you have time throughout the week or next week or whenever. Okay, with that, good night, everybody.
Good night.